All right, we're back. Carla, can you please read the item? Please read the title for item number 1071.
Appeal of Rodney Grinsberg on behalf of Lindquist Development Company, property owner, against the hearing officer's decision to deny a conditional use review to establish a detention facility to be operated by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency at 4310 Southwest McAdam Avenue, LU11124052, CUPR.
Deputy Auditor, could you please tell us what's going on today?
You've conferred a new title on me. Thank you.
Oh, assistant. Assistant. Sorry, auditor. Sorry.
Does that come with a pay raise? I don't
deputy,
know.
I don't know.
Deputy City Attorney. I just saw the auditor. I apologize.
All right. Just to, again, set the stage for where we are today.
Right.
Council held an evidentiary hearing on this appeal on September 21st. And at the conclusion of the hearing, the council continued this matter to today and provided an opportunity for the parties to submit rebuttal to what they believe is new evidence until 5 p.m. on September 28th. The evidentiary record was closed at that time and is now closed. Again, the purpose of today's hearing is for council discussion and deliberation, not additional testimony. The council may, if it wishes, ask questions of staff or the parties, but to the extent possible, questions should be narrowly focused and limited to the evidence in the record. The decisional options for the council are, one, to uphold the hearings officer's decision as is. If you do that, you would be making a final decision today to deny the appeal and deny the applicant's proposal. A second option would be for the council to uphold the hearings officer's decision concerning most of the approval criteria and overturn the hearings officer's decision concerning the safety criterion, the one that the hearings officer found wasn't satisfied. This would result in a tentative decision to grant the applicant's appeal and approve the applicant's proposal. Again, the council would need to set a future date for the adoption of findings and final decision-making. In terms of preliminary matters, the council should expressly reject any rebuttal that was received after the close of the evidentiary record on September 28th, and council members should disclose any ex-party contacts that they have had since the September 21st hearing. And finally, just a reminder that the applicant has extended the 120-day clock until October 28th, so decision-making time is short.
All right. Do any members of the council have any ex parte contacts to declare, beginning at this end? No? No? Commissioner Leonard?
No.
I don't either. Do the council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before beginning this hearing?
I think we've all received multiple emails, some of which have been responded to and others not.
Okay. So there's nothing, though, that prevents any of us from hearing this matter. Do council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin? I will get a brief summary from Douglas Hardy of the correspondence and the input received since September 21st. Douglas can then answer any commissioner questions if they can be addressed with the information contained in the record. Mr. Hardy?
Thank you, Mayor Adams, council members. Douglas Hardy with the Bureau of Development Services. So since the last time we met on this, we did receive four new items, or four items in the record. We received two letters from the neighborhood, one from Mr. Daneman, one from Mr. Davis. Those two letters effectively indicated that any new evidence submitted after the hearings officer's close of record on July 18th should be excluded from the record, not considered by council. We also received two other letters, one from the property owner's legal representative and a second letter, from the tenant, or in this case, the tenant being ICE. We received a letter from Daniel Brown. And those two letters, basically, they made the case that At last hearing, BDS staff had provided you a memo that included some recommendations for conditions of approval. One of those was that the applicant maintain a log of detainees that were released from the facility. The applicant and tenant argue that that log would really be of little use because, number one, due to privacy reasons, a fair amount of that data would have to be redacted from that log. And in the end, there really wouldn't be anything in that log that would be of assistance to BDS compliance services. So they are advocating to remove that as a condition of approval.
Can I ask a question about that? Or
mm-hmm.
So the log would, though, state there could be a log that redacts names and, let's say, countries of origin or what, anything that might violate privacy, but couldn't the log include the time that someone was released and the manner?
From staff perspective, yes, it could. I think probably more importantly from at least the code compliance or compliance services perspective, would that aid them at all in terms of determining and, you know, addressing any complaint that may be made?
Well, and then I would just pose that rhetorical question with another, and that is that we would at least know, a code compliance officer at least would know who's been let out of the front door.
They would, yes.
And the time of day, and how many.
Yes, they would know that.
Which I thought was one of the core concerns expressed in testimony. So I will proceed.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's more... I'm thinking out loud here.
Okay. The other statement included in the letter, really from both the applicant and the and ICE, was that there was basically a signed statement for in both of their letters indicating that they would comply with conditions of approval associated with the operation of the facility. And specifically, they were referring to complying with the security plan that was included as Exhibit A8 in the hearings officer's report, and complying with that, the what's referred to as the ICE custody release plan, and that is included in the September 2011 signed statement from ICE. So based on that, I guess one other question or comment I'd like to make as well. In the BDS staff recommendation memo that we submitted at the September 21st City Council hearing, one of the recommendations was that basically prior to issuance of final occupancy that the applicant provide a written letter confirming that they did meet all the building element requirements of the security plan. And in further discussions regarding that condition, we've realized that, in fact, the building permit really serves that same purpose, that before planning and zoning would sign off on that building permit, we would need to demonstrate that, in fact, all the building elements from the security plan had been implemented. Otherwise, we would not issue the permit. So in hindsight, that particular condition, in fact, is really not necessary.
Mayor, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Maybe this is to council, but do we have the latitude to determine that the ICE custody release plan that's been submitted is not quote-unquote evidence, but is submitted to help us shape potential conditions of approval? Or by extending the record as we did, is that now moot?
I think that's essentially a moot question. You did extend the record for and to allow the parties to rebut evidence that had been submitted.
So it's in the record before us.
It's yes, it is.
But there's, without arguing the point, it does seem to me after reading Mr. Daneman's thoughtful letter that there is a reasonable people could disagree on the question of whether it's actually evidence versus proposed findings. Proposed
or evidence or rebuttal, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, additional council discussion?
I guess my question would be, Mayor, what's the next step here? Do we discuss proposed conditions of approval, conditions, or is there further submission, further presentation?
It's up to the.
If I could, so basically at this point, where BDS staff is coming in terms of a recommendation, should council decide to approve the detention facility, is that the operator be required to operate in conformance with the approved security plan. That's, again, the Exhibit A8 from the hearings officer report, as amended by the ICE custody release plan that was identified in the September 2011 document from ICE. And there were a couple of conditions included in the staff recommendation report that went to the hearings officer. One addressed the applicant being required to implement the transportation demand management strategies that were included in Exhibit A5. And those were needed to address basically the transportation approval criteria.
And did the ICE facility have objections to that?
At the time, no, they didn't.
Okay.
No. There was one other condition included in the staff report about no razor wire or barbed wire being used on the perimeter of the fence. So that could be a third condition for council to consider.
Well, Mayor Adams, to get us off the dime, I will move to uphold the appeal with the three conditions just recited by Mr. Hardy.
So it's been seconded. So I
moved and seconded. Discussion.
I may have a friendly amendment. Just want to make sure I understand where we are. Are the procedures to be followed for releasing detainees, is that also part of your proposal, or is that
the procedures? Yes, are included in that ICE custody release plan. That would be the September 2011 memo.
I see. And so those are just restated here.
Right.
Other discussion on the motion?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for making that, and Douglas Hardy for your great work on this. The key point of the hearings officer's decision was whether detainees could be safely released into the community at the site. Everything else was found to be met, and indeed, the evidence in the record and the evidence we heard at the hearing was that there had been discussion of whether there had been problems from the current site on 511 near the post office, and everybody seemed to agree that there was nothing in the record. In fact, it says in the hearings office decision that there has no evidence of there having been problems there. So the key concern was whether it could be safe to have folks being discharged from the facility. And the ICE memo that we received in August specified the conditions that they use for when they release people, including for health and humanitarian reasons, when there's a dispute about whether the person is subject to deportation, in fact, so therefore has no reason to be detained in any kind of facility. So to me, the concerns raised are not any more impactful in this neighborhood than they would be in any other neighborhood where there are people all over the city who may be undocumented and who maybe have been released from prison or jail or parole. That's a part of living in the city. So I wanted to make sure with the proposed conditions that we limit the release from ICE custody to times when transit services are available if the subject being released is using mass transit. And if not, that the subject being released would be met by friend, family, attorney, or non-governmental organization, taken with funds for transportation fare, or taken to their home or other mutually agreeable location. I believe those are all in the August memo from ICE and are part, therefore, of this conditional approval. As I mentioned in the previous discussion, we are not allowed to consider questions such as, is this the best place in the city, or is this appropriate to have this facility next to a school? Those are not the approval criteria in the code. And the comprehensive plan says that the approval criteria that are stated with a specific land use review reflect the findings that must be made to approve the request. The approval criteria are derived from and are based on the comprehensive plan. A proposal that complies with all of the criteria is in conformance with the comprehensive plan and will be approved. A proposal that can comply with the criteria with mitigation measures or limitations will be approved with the necessary conditions. A proposal that cannot comply with the criteria will be denied. So I was looking at, is there anything in this application that it cannot be approved, that it's so flagrantly in violation of any of the approval criteria that it cannot be approved, even with conditions of approval? Given that we know that the similar facility has been existing in the center of Portland for several years without causing problems, and given that this has application has received extraordinary scrutiny, which the council directed when we sent it back from the previous appeal to say that it had to go through this discussion of the pros and cons of public safety and of what the release plan should be, that I believe that the proposed conditions of approval do mean that it must be approved, that there's nothing in the code that says that I have anything to base a denial of the application on.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor, unless there's additional discussion. Carla, would you please call the vote on the motion?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
So adding the conditions of approval, which specify the release plan, which is what the hearings officer called for, should we be overturning his recommendation or his approval? Adding the information from ICE and from the applicant, who correctly points out that it's the applicant who are responsible for the actions of compliance on this site, and adding information to detainees that ICE will post in the processing area, the specific release procedures. These are people who have been found by ICE who are not, their job is to deport people, as far as my understanding of what this entire facility is for, is to process folks who are undocumented and when they deem fit for folks to be taken to Tacoma and then deported. So it doesn't seem likely to me that ICE would be releasing people into the neighborhood who have any measure of unsafety at all. That they specify in their memo the reasons that they would release somebody to the community, and those reasons are the kinds of folks that are in my neighborhood and in every other neighborhood of this city. So for those reasons, I vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion to amend is approved. Now the underlying, we're not done yet, folks. Now the underlying motion, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to uphold the hearing officer's report and to overturn the finding on the safety criteria as amended, with the conditions that have been adopted by council.
An additional element of that would be to grant the appeal.
Thank you.
And if I could just add, so you would be overturning the hearings officer's decision of denial.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Council discussion. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I do appreciate the passion and the time that everybody on all sides has put into this, and the evidence in the record is compelling to me. Particularly appreciate Jim Davis and Bill Dannemann from the Neighborhood Association, who are land use chairs after my own heart, and looking at the approval criteria, making sure that the process is followed. This decision for me is based absolutely on the information in the record and on the approval criteria in the code, which is what I'm required to base my decision on. And I appreciate the concerns. And when my kids were in school, they're now grown, I had talks with them about some of the unpleasant things that are in my neighborhood, although I don't consider people being discharged from this facility as being unpleasant. I hope that they will be able to get back into the community, having been in this facility. So I'm much happier about having this facility in South Waterfront than I am with people being taken to Tacoma and then being sent back to Portland if it's found that they're not subject to deportation. These are people who've been living in our community and in many cases are part of our community.
Fish?
When this matter first came before us, I respectfully disagreed with the staff recommendation because I concluded after reading the code and listening to the evidence that there were two primary uses, one office, one detention. That triggered a conditional use hearing, which is now before us. The only issue in controversy before us has to do with the security component. And after listening to all the testimony, very thoughtful presentations from both sides, reviewing the conditions of approval, I believe we have addressed those issues in a responsible fashion. I think this process has led to a better outcome and an improved proposal. I want to thank my colleagues for their role, Commissioner Fritz for her suggestions, and I'm going to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
I'm voting for the motion. The existing facility has not... there's nothing in the record that shows significant problems with it. However, the new location is a slightly different context, and so I believe that the conditions and the assurances enacted with this overall decision are appropriate. And I want to thank all involved for a lot of very informed problem-solving and problem prevention work. Aye. Approved or adjourned?
Nope.
You need- we got to set the hearing is set for...
How much? 2 weeks?
2 weeks will take us to what date?
2 weeks would be the 19th. Yeah. So we'll do the 19th at 9.
We could either do 2 or 3 weeks. We have through the 28th.
What do you prefer, Mr. Hardy? We can, the possibility exists that we can add an emergency clause when we do it as well, since the votes up here were.
Let's do the 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay. The 19th, then, at 9:30, time certain.
As so noted, we're adjourned.
What's that?